Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, discerning true and false claims of fellowship. John wrote 1 John to counter heretical views, so the epistle provides discernment and is thus filled with contrasts between light and darkness, chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Love of the world and love of God, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Children of God and children of the devil, chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 and 16 through 21. So we view the epistle for much-needed spiritual discernment in our own era, and we study John's instruction on discerning true and false claims of fellowship in 1 John 2, 3 through 11, for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he, even that would be Jesus, walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light is now shining. He that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in himself. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks about in darkness and does not know where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Okay, discerning true and false claims of fellowship. If we claim that we experientially know God, but we disobey his commandments, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we obey his commandments, we experientially know him. Now, you'll notice how I put the adjective experientially in front of the word know, or adverb in front of it. And I'm going to explain that from the Greek text. John claimed that we can experientially know. The Greek word is gnoskomen. It's a present tense of gnosko. It means to come to know or to experience. That we have come to know, gnokomen is in the perfect tense of gnosko, God, by the fact that we obey his commandments. In other words, we can experientially know that we have come to experientially know the Lord, and that by the fact that we obey his commandments. There's a close connection between the scripture itself, which reveals God, and our reaction to the scripture and how God reads it. If we actually obey his word, because we trust the Lord, we hold to him in everything, that is essentially fellowshipping with the Lord. If we disobey his word, we're not in fellowship with the Lord. However, if one claims that he experientially has come to know, that's agnoka in the first person perfect tense, but he does not obey God, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So that's the first test. Second, if we claim that God's love is perfected in us, but we disobey God's word, we lie. But if we obey God's word, his love is perfected in us. Notice the connection between love and obedience to God. You go into a number of churches today, and they're either emphasizing obeying the word of God, or they're emphasizing sort of a touchy-feely kind of a love. They're not separated in God's view. Genuine love is connected to obeying him. If we don't obey him, we don't love him. That's it. It's connected. These are basic truths. And some churches emphasize the word of God without love. No, they're the same. Obeying the Lord and loving the Lord goes hand in hand. They're different by definition, but in experience they're the same. Same thing. Now, if we claim to fellowship with God, but we fail to live the righteousness of Christ in his earthly life, we lie and do not fellowship with God. But if we live the righteousness of Christ's life, we fellowship with the Lord. I'll never forget, I heard an illustration one time about a little girl. Someone came up and was talking to a little girl and telling her about Jesus and what Jesus was like. And she says, "Oh, yeah, I know him." "What do you mean you know him?" "Yeah, he lives down the street and over a block." "Who's that?" And they went down there and they found out it was the local pastor. She knew the pastor. And what this little girl was hearing described was exactly what that pastor was like. And that's exactly what it should be. We should be living like Jesus lived. There shouldn't be a difference. There shouldn't be a disparity. And that's something to aim for. Now, if we claim that we love God, but we do not love fellow believers, we lie and do not fellowship with God. But if we love fellow believers, we fellowship with the Lord. Now, keep in mind, the love here is not a touchy-feely thing. It's the word agape. It's the love that God had for the world. When the world was desperately at enmity with God, God so loved the world that he sent his son to die in the place of the world. Notice it's a self-sacrificing commitment. Is way beyond touchy-feely. This is a love that is self-sacrificing. Paul said this love, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love doesn't push itself to the forefront. Is not disorderly and all that." There are all sorts of qualities about that love. And it's not touchy-feely. It's much deeper than that. And that's the love that we're supposed to have for our brothers in Christ. John prefaced his instruction on the test of loving fellow believers with a preface on the commandment that Jesus had given at the beginning. The commandment is recorded back in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, where before the cross, Jesus ordered his disciples to love one another as he had loved them. And of course, this is the hallmark of the Christian walk, it should be. That initial commandment is repeated now as a new commandment in 1 John 2:8 in the sense that it had not lost its freshness. John's claim that the darkness is passing and the true light of God's revelation is already shining indicates that this commandment to love fellow believers conforms to the revelation of God in Christ. So John then asserted that he who claimed to be in the light of God's revealed truth, be that truth revealed in Christ or in the Scriptures, but who hated his brother in Christ, was still in sinful spiritual darkness. So a believer can walk in darkness, okay? He can, in fact, Paul says, "Are you not carnal?" He's writing to the Corinthians, "Are you not carnal and walk as men, as unsaved men?" So a believer can act just like he's an unsaved person because he still has a sin nature. That's the problem in a large part of the churches today. There are people who are living by the sin natures and instead of living by the power of the Lord. So we have to be very careful. If we claim to be in the light of God's truth, be it in Christ or in the Scriptures, if we hate our brother in Christ, we're still in sinful spiritual darkness. Now in verses 10 and 11, this is an amazing section here. In verses 10 and 11, there are big contrasts in the eventual results of fellowshipping versus not fellowshipping with God. See, a person may say, "Well, so what? I'm not fellowshipping with God. Big deal." No, it is a big deal because in time, what happens, whether we fellowship with God or whether we don't fellowship with God, it has enormous, dramatically contrasting effects in our lives, ourselves, either for the good or for the bad. He who loves his brother in Christ remains in God's revelation and fellowship. And there is nothing in him to make himself stumble into sin and its harmful effects. Notice, himself, it affects himself. I checked the Bible Knowledge Commentary just to make sure. It doesn't mean there's nothing in him to make someone else stumble. Of course, that would work. But it makes himself stumble. See, if we're out of fellowship with the Lord, all we do is hurt ourselves in time. We'll force ourselves into a stumbling situation. However, he who hates his brother is not only in spiritual darkness outside of God's revealed truth, but he orders his life outside of God's revelation in Christ and Scripture, and he is not even aware. This is a different word for know. It's not gnosko, it's oida. It's to know absolutely. And that is not even to perceive, not even to be aware of where he is headed. So if a person's out of fellowship with the Lord, a lot of times he's not even aware of it. That's the troublesome part. And he doesn't even know where he's headed in his life. For the darkness has blinded his spiritual perception. Thus, the lack of God's revelation in the outlook of one who is out of fellowship with God blocks his discernment so that he heads into great harm. In another passage in 1 John, John says, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. And falling into the ditch is not a happy-go-lucky thing. It's not a kumbaya experience. Bad one. That's where you get hurt. And I was just talking with a believer here not long ago, not a part of our church family, but the believer was distraught because he'd been through a number of crises in his life and tragedies. And he says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. And I could tell him why, but he wouldn't want to hear it. He's in darkness, walking in darkness. And he didn't know what was going on, but this had been going on for years. This is someone who went to a Bible college, who had been raised in a Christian home. And that's where he was. He was at wit's end, but he was walking in darkness. So the lesson is, to obey God's word is to fellowship with him. But to disobey it is not to fellowship with him. To obey God is to have his love perfected in us. But to disobey him means that his love is not perfected in us. To fellowship with God means one lives the practical righteousness of Christ's earthly life. We're not fellowshipping with him means one fails to live that righteousness. Loving other believers indicates that one fellowships with God and thus has no inner stumbling block that results in a spiritually harmful failure. However, not loving other believers means one is out of fellowship with the Lord, that he's not even aware of this problematic state, since the spiritual blindness, darkness, has blinded his capacity to discern spiritual reality, and that to his future and his great spiritual harm. This is why walking out of fellowship with the Lord is, you're hurting yourself, because you're blind. You don't know that you're out of fellowship, and boom. Then you walk into a brick wall in life and you wonder, what hit me? And then you walk into another brick wall and everywhere you turn, running into brick walls. So the application is, may we apply these tests to our walk and repent, if needed, to avoid great harm. In other words, if we check and we find out from Scripture that we're not quite obeying something, boy, we better adjust right away. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we have to be careful. You know, we need to make sure that we know what the context says, so we're not taking something out of context. But if the Word of God clearly indicates that we're doing something that is wrong, we need to repent, and that means change our mind, and then confess it to the Lord, and then we get back into fellowship with the Lord. Number two, if we discern that we pass these tests as those who do fellowship with the Lord, may we rejoice in God's approval of our walk and rest assured that his revelation in Christ and in Scripture provides nurturing protection in our walk. We enjoy actually a protected walk with the Lord because he's looking out for us and he guides us in a wonderful way. So, fellowship with God or not fellowshipping with God has enormous contrasts in one's in the resulting effects of one's life. So we get to a fork in the road, and if we choose not to fellowship with the Lord, we go way off this way. If we choose to fellowship with the Lord, we go way off this way. And those roads don't meet. So it's extremely important that we watch that we're fellowshipping with the Lord. And that's one reason why John wrote his epistle. He wanted Christians to be fulfilled. He didn't want Christians to experience tragedy in their lives. So it's very, very important that we walk with the Lord.